Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And John writes this: "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Well, it happened a few years ago while our kids and granddaughters lived in Tampa. Our younger granddaughter, Ellie, came to stay with us a few weeks before Christmas for a couple of days. She was probably about 5 or 6 at the time, and the lessons that we learned from her during that short stay really began that first night that she was there with us. We were supposed to get Ellie to bed earlier, but well, time got away from us. So we got her to bed a little later than we were supposed to, but there we were, both of us, Mimi and Gran, laying with Ellie in the darkened bedroom on the floor for a while before she finally drifted off to sleep. At Ellie's request, her Mimi had created a pallet for her on the floor at the base of the small Christmas tree in the bedroom, which she and her older sister Hannah knew was their room in our home. The pallet was right next to the Precious Moments Nativity set Ellie had arranged at the base of that tree earlier that evening. Lying there with her, we watched Ellie alternate between switching the tree lights on and off with the remote and moving the beloved figurines within the nativity scene or manger scene. And every now and then, picking up the baby Jesus ever so reverently, holding him in both of her tiny hands and looking believingly into his face. The next morning, while helping to decorate various parts of the house for Christmas with her Mimi, Ellie began, as she always does each year, by ever so carefully unwrapping and then setting up all the manger scenes around the house. And then it happened. While I was busy opening boxes of Christmas decorations in the attic, a wounded cry pierced the air in the distance from another room, breaking my busyness with a frantic announcement from our little girl: "Gran, Gran, there is no baby Jesus or Mary or Joseph in the box." Ellie arrived at my side, right behind her words reaching my ears to get me to come and to see what she's talking about. When we arrived at the scene in the playroom, she pointed to an opened box with a set of figurines for Christmas, which her Mimi had bought, and which contained a camel, a sheep, a shepherd, an angel, and even a Santa Claus and a North Pole. "But there was no baby Jesus." "Gran," she said again, "there is no baby Jesus or Mary or Joseph." Relieved at what I saw, I smiled and explained to her that this set was simply some figures which her Mimi bought, which she liked, and was not really a manger scene. "All true." She looked relieved at what I said. And so she left, satisfied, and continued her mission to set up the remaining manger scenes all around the house. And all of that happened that day because Ellie believes that the baby Jesus belongs in the manger scene, every manger scene, everywhere. And of course, she's right. He was in the nativity scene under our Christmas tree in her bedroom, which the three of us saw as we lay on the pallet on the floor together the night before, waiting for one of us to go to sleep. He was in all the manger scenes that she and her sister always set up throughout the house, which they continue to do in our home every year. And soon she and her sister Hannah will do it again under the Christmas tree and in the front entry hallway and other places around the house, making sure in every scene that the baby Jesus is there, just like he was in the manger scene, which miraculously occurred over 2,000 years ago on a dark night in a dark world, in a damp, straw-filled manger, in a dirty stable on a cold night behind a warm inn in the little town of Bethlehem. In the gospel which bears his name, which we read some of as we began, John used the term believe or comparable words 98 different times. It's the gospel with just 21 chapters, yet it contains the word believe almost 100 times. You would think that John's desire was to make certain that the reader believed the unbelievable, the virgin birth of a baby boy to a young girl, the birth of God's son. And my friends, that is exactly what John was hoping would happen. How do you explain what happened? How can you possibly believe it? Maybe that's why John emphasized believing as much as he did. There was simply no way to logically explain what had occurred so that our finite minds would be able to understand and believe. But John wasn't talking about understanding. He knew that was God's territory. There's no way he could understand the mind of God and how and why God does things. Neither can we. John was talking about believing. There was simply no way to be able to explain what the coming of Christ into the dark night of a dark world would mean to those who are present in those days and to those who have believed throughout the centuries to follow, and you and me. Here we are in the season of Advent, heading toward Christmas, and I wonder what we're expecting to find. I wonder what we're looking for as the days pass by. I wonder what we believe is waiting for us up ahead as we fast approach the day of celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. What do we believe in a world that determines the success of Christmas, not in terms of changed and transformed lives, but in terms of the amount of business done by our merchants locally, on the internet, or elsewhere around the country? What do we believe in a world that so reorders our priorities that many of us and many of our family members and friends go through life thinking that maybe tomorrow they will finally find the real meaning to life? Maybe tomorrow they will finally find fulfillment and satisfaction in life. Maybe in their work or in social settings where they're accepted, or in the accumulation of things or awards or trophies or their image in the community or the size of their bank accounts. And when they fall short, they try to numb that failure and frustration in alcohol or in pills or in drugs or something else that won't last and won't provide the fulfillment or satisfaction that they are seeking. And all too often, too many find themselves coming to the end of their days and years unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and sadly beginning to understand after too many wasted years that it was never about any of that stuff. And they cannot do it again. Just one time around is all we get. My friends, it's always been about believing. It has always been about believing in a virgin birth, in a manger, and a divine, miraculous moment in the crowded little town of Bethlehem, and in God's Son, the baby Jesus. This year, it can be different for all of us. It can be about believing for each one of us, or someone we love who needs to believe, no matter where we have been or what we have thought to be important this year, and what we chase after day after day after day, it can all be different. And it needs to be, because my friends, one time around is all we get. It can all be different. It has to be different. And it will all depend on what you and I believe. In his gospel, John made it very clear way back then that it's all about believing. Believing in the birth of God's Son on a dark night in a dark world in a manger full of damp hay in a dirty stable in the little town of Bethlehem. What do we believe? What should we believe? Christ, God's Son, born in Bethlehem for you and for me. Will our life reflect that belief today, this week, and in the weeks leading up to the celebration of the birth of the babe of Bethlehem? And for the rest of our life here on earth, it needs to. It has to. For ourselves and others who come before us, seeking meaning, seeking direction and fulfillment in life, seeking a lift in life to what's truly important, that they will not find, never find in the world. Gran, there's no baby Jesus or Mary or Joseph. But we know there is, don't we? And we are heading there again to celebrate the birth of the baby in Bethlehem. Believe it, my friends. Believe it. Now and forever, it will make all the difference in your life and mine and others we meet for today and every day and throughout eternity with him. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the reminder in this gospel that John wrote that we are called to believe and that it's all about believing, and we can because the tomb is empty. You are risen. It really happened that God sent his precious son to earth for us because he loves us that much. We believe. Do we understand it all? No, we cannot understand the mind of God, but we believe and know how much he loves us. So thank you, Lord. In this season, help us to remember as we move forward that it's not about the stuff. It's about you and you sending your son because you love us. Help us to focus on that, to believe in that, to celebrate that with all those others we love. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In your son's precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.